Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Global Math Department. It is 9 p.m. and we will be getting started. My name is Lena Taro and I will be your host tonight. Tonight, we're going to hear from four individuals. We'll be hearing from Megan Arnold, Jody Bailey, Molly Rodding, and Jason Kissel about their favorites from Twitter Math Camp. And I believe you are going to be in for a definite treat. I just want to confirm, can people hear me over the microphone? You can just type yes in the chat window. Super. Excellent. So before I turn the presentation over to our presenters, let me explain a little bit about how these meetings work. These meetings are recorded and are available a few hours after the meeting ends. To view the recording, you would come back to the same URL that you used to get here. You will also be emailed a link to the presentation. The Global Math community prides itself on being friendly and supportive. The chat room is available for topical and general conversation throughout the meeting. I'll catch your questions for the presenters, so don't worry that the presenters won't notice it in the chatter. I will also say that the chat window is also going to be part of the recording, so if there are hyperlinks or other pieces of information that you might want to get from the chat window, it will be part of the recording. So just to be aware of that. So tonight I'm going to turn the presentation over to Megan Arnold first. I'll have each of the presenters briefly introduce themselves and we will have plenty of time for questions and answers. This session is a little different, so I think we'll do one or two questions after each presenter finishes. And then we will also have time for questions and answers for everyone at the end. So Megan, take it away.
Hi, everyone. I'm coming to you from Cass Town, Ohio. I'm actually in my classroom right now so that I could step away from my children and have some uninterrupted time to present to you all. So I wanted to first talk about, and I'm trying to advance the slides, so it's not going forward.
Megan, I will help you with that in a second. I've realized I forgot to have people introduce themselves in the chat window. Everybody was saying hi and hello.
Okay. That's fine. And I didn't, you kind of have cut out a little bit, so I didn't hear that part.
Okay. Sorry about that. We're going to have people introduce themselves in the chat window for a minute or two, and we'll see if we can fix the slides while that's happening. So everybody, I would like you to introduce yourself in the chat window, telling us where you teach, what you teach, and your Twitter handle, if you have one. So go ahead and introduce yourselves in the chat window. Okay, super. Megan, are you there?
Yes.
I think if you actually mouse over to the very, on the very bottom of the slides, you should see the slideshow navigator. And it says slide 1 of 53.
Right.
If you hit on the greater than symbol there, it will advance the slide to the right. If you did the less than symbol, it advance it to the left.
Okay.
So.
And it's still just spinning right now.
Okay, well now I've advanced it okay. I'm not sure why there's a problem on your end. I can advance the slides for you if you wish, if you can't get them to advance. But I think it's kind of strange that it's not advancing.
At least not from my end. I can't see
it again.
Well, it says slide 3, but I'm still seeing the very first slide.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yes.
That is quite bizarre. I'm going to try to, I tried uploading it from a different way. Let me try to upload it one more time here.
Okay.
Let's see.
Okay. Now I'm seeing slide 53 or slide 3 of 53.
Okay. So you should be okay then.
Okay.
All right. Maybe it's just a little slow. Okay. All right. Well, go ahead and try.
All right. I'll see if I can get it to advance. So anyway, as I was saying, this was my first TMC. And I was really excited for the opportunity to attend this year, thanks to the support of my school. And I have a few of the things that I love, but I just, to be honest, I probably could have presented about 20 things that I loved. So I'm sorry if I'm leaving anyone out who made a presentation that I attended and I just didn't have enough time. So I thought I would start first with, and I'm just waiting for the slide to advance from my end, Julie Ruhlbach's speech. And is it advancing on your end? It's not advancing on my end either.
All right. Let me try one other thing here. Give me one moment. I'm going to try to re-upload it this other way.
Okay.
I tried to do something new this time so that you can upload files ahead of time. And so I did the uploading files ahead of time. And yeah, it apparently didn't like it. So we're going to do the original way that I normally upload things. So it'll take a second here. Just a kind of show of hands in the chat window. If you attended Twitter Math Camp, you can say yes or attended or go Twitter Math Camp or something like that. Okay. And hopefully the file is there. And it is not. Let me try one more time. Okay. Oh, yeah. Where is Twitter Math Camp next year? I don't know. Does anybody know? Oh, in California. All right. Now it's okay. Now try to advance the slides, Megan.
Okay. Do I need to pull up the slides? Because I'm not seeing any slides.
Are other people seeing slides? Julie says yes. A lot of people are saying yes. Some people say loading. All right. I just advanced it to slide 3.
It says my page is unresponsive.
You know what? Why don't we have you, here's what we're going to do. Why don't we have you log out and log back in. And Jody, I'm going to turn it over to you. And then we'll go back to Megan. So let me slip ahead here to Jody's slide. So Jody, why don't you take over for now? And hopefully Megan will be able to join us again. All right, Jody, you're up.
Okay, you can hear me, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm Jody Bailey. And I'm also, like Megan, from Ohio. I am in Hilliard, Ohio, which is near Columbus. And I am a math coach for a K-5 elementary school. I also teach math methods for pre-service teachers at a local university, and I am the president-elect for the Ohio Council of Teachers of Mathematics. So it was a true blessing to have Twitter Math Camp in Ohio this year. For the last couple of years, I've been choosing one word from John Gordon, if you're familiar with his work. It's sort of like a New Year's resolution, but it's one word, so it's simple. And my word this year was connect, even before I knew that I would be going to Twitter Math Camp. And that really has felt like the focus of my work this year. Twitter Math Camp was an amazing opportunity to connect with so many educators, both within Ohio and beyond. One of the photos on there were several of the educators from Ohio that were able to attend Twitter Math Camp. And so we took a group picture together. I really appreciated the opportunities to talk with teachers of different grade levels and from different settings and backgrounds. So while we were all there to talk about math education, we had a lot of different perspectives to share. And I really appreciated hearing all of those. So I'm going to start with Marian Dingell's keynote. And if you were not able to hear that, I believe the link on my slide is linked to her address. I found her words to be incredibly inspiring. I loved that she talked about her own children. It made me think about my personal center. So I included a photo of my husband, Mike, and our two boys. But while I thought about my personal center, I was also thinking about my professional center. So I mentioned that I work at a K-5 elementary school. There's a photo of it. It's Brown Elementary. And earlier this summer, I was part of a book study group that read The Impact of Identity in K-8 Mathematics. It's an NCTM book, and I highly recommend it. So Marian's keynote caused me to think about several things I had read about in the identity book, as well as students I work with. Our school has a large English learner population, and this is something I think about a lot with mathematics because they're trying to learn a new language, and we're doing all of this rich problem solving and discussion, and there's also cultural differences. So in thinking about that center, what messages are we sending to our students? Are we consistent in our actions and our words? Do those reflect our beliefs? We try to provide a lot of hands-on opportunities, a lot of varying representations, and helping kids make connections. Marian's speech also made me think about the opportunities we provide for students to see themselves as mathematicians and to honor the way that they see mathematics. So I just included some photos from last year of students at my building having the opportunity to engage in mathematics. So again, her keynote was pretty meaningful to me in thinking about how we can continually strive to improve the opportunities we provide for these students and to value the whole person. Another session that I went to was Barbara Besky, who is with Student Achievement Partners and Achieve the Core. And they have put together some resources to help English learners, and they offer strategies to help us in this work. I really appreciated the research she provided and commitments that they have made to English language learners. She really emphasized that every teacher should focus on language and think of yourself as a teacher of ELLs, not just thinking that that would be like a pullout support. So your math classroom needs to offer some ways to support English language learners if you have them in your classroom. Two of the activities she talked about, I think, would be valuable for all learners. One was read the problem three times, and they have a framework there. The first read, you think, what is the problem about? The second read, you think, what is the question? And the third read, you think, what information is important? So even though this was designed for English language learners, I think this would be valuable for all students. Another strategy they talked about was information gap, where you take a problem and you split it into two parts. So one card has some information, a second card has a different set of information, and students need both cards in order to solve the problem, because each person has different pieces of information that are necessary to solve the task. And part of that strategy is that you don't just put the cards down and read them together. The person that's holding the card has to share the information with their partner. So Twitter Math Camp was really meaningful for me personally, just the sense of community. I was able to meet people just down the street from me in districts close by, and people from across the country and around the world, which was incredible. Connecting across grade levels, I'm in the K-5 world, but my two children are in high school, and so it was really nice and affirming to hear some of the things that are happening in secondary mathematics, just as a mom. Building coherence, so those conversations happening across kindergarten through 12th grade and beyond, and then sharing beyond Twitter Math Camp. So I really appreciated the opportunity to be there. So any questions?
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jody. I think we're going to move on to Molly, because I think Megan's still having some issues. So we're going to move on to Molly. Unless there are questions for Jody. Does anybody have questions for Jody? I did see the one question about where you can find information, Gap Card resources.
I believe those are on the Student Achievement Partners website. I will look and see if I can put the link for that specifically in the comments.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All right. I think we are ready for Molly.
Okay. Great.
Take it away, Molly.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Molly Rodding. I'm also in the elementary world. I'm a K-5 math specialist coach at an elementary school in Lexington, Massachusetts, which is north of Boston. And this was also my first TMC, and it was a great experience. Earlier in the year at NCTM, I had met Casey McCormick there, and she had met, I mentioned that I was going there, and she said, it's just so different than any other math conference. And so I knew it was going to be different, and I was really excited, and it just was so different and so wonderful. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to have gone. And so I picked a few, and kind of as and Nicole had mentioned, it was hard to just kind of pick a few, but there were so many overlaps and a lot of themes that I wanted to kind of share that resonated with me throughout the 4 days there. So the first one was this fabulous game. So we'll take just 30 seconds so everyone can participate in this with a little notice wonder, whether you know where this comes from or not. Take about 35, 40 seconds to write in the chat window. What do you notice? What do you wonder? Great. So there's lots of different observations coming in, a lot of noticings there. And this does come from a great game called Set that Amy Albright Brett presented about, and just so many possibilities. And there were so many great things about this presentation. One, this idea that we've got this set of cards. And if you don't know this game, I would highly encourage you to go out and get it. And there's also Amy shared a bunch of resources. She's made some of these cards. She's done a lot of work with this. And so we were able to play around with this. We sorted all of the cards, and then we talked about playing the game, and then like all of the different math, all the different places that this can be taken to, including the fundamental theorem of set. And there was just so much on my mind as we were playing around with this, talking about what are the possibilities, what could happen if, and it was just a great start to get us thinking. She had mentioned that her presentation generally takes, I think it's a 2 or 3 hour presentation. So we just kind of scratched the surface with some of the ideas. But then she started talking and sharing ideas about how you might see a set kind of three-dimensionally around, and just lots of discussions around where you could take this. And then one of my favorite things, and this came at the beginning of her session, was her goals for the session. So I'll read them if you can't see them on the slide, but it says, make observations about things that interest us. Ask questions for which we don't know the answer yet. Volunteer our half-finished explanation for others to build on. Provide space for others to contribute their thinking. Make sense of the mathematics in their own way. And be playful. And I just loved those goals. And I felt like they connected with so many of their other goals and sessions that I was in terms of making math more playful. We want to be more curious and just being able to build on what each other might be thinking and contribute kind of wherever our thinking is. So I absolutely love those goals in addition to loving the ideas around the game of set. And then another piece of it, the next layer was at the game night. Then there was 4D set, and that was fun to see kind of evolve, and different groups were playing around with that. So that was another kind of next step that I had not been exposed to prior. And so then she also shared the resources that she has with this. And if you can't see those, I'll make sure those get posted. So that was one of the sessions. And again, going back to that idea of being playful and fun and curious and thinking about mathematics in different ways. So set is a game I would definitely recommend. The second one that I wanted to share was with Brian Bushart, and his session was called Circle Round, Engaging Students Through Mathematical Storytelling. And this builds on his work of numberless word problems. So I wanted to start again with a short notice wonder image. So take a look at that. What do you notice? What do you wonder? So as you continue to notice and wonder, Brian's focus was on storytelling, and that we can engage kids with stories where they're naturally excited and curious and want to know more. And so when we're working with numberless word problems, starting with some sort of picture, some sort of story that captures kids' attention. So these are vegetables from my garden taken at the beginning of July, probably the first week into July. And just thinking about, here are all the vegetables we have, and then what might I do with this with kids to engage them in kind of my real life, what I do over the summer with my own kids, and thinking about that a picture is worth so much. So Brian mentioned about the importance of starting with a visual or some sort of story to get the kids on the edge of their seat and just start thinking in that direction and saying, okay, we want to hook them in some way that's meaningful. And sometimes it'll really resonate with some kids and maybe others at another time, but hooking them with either the visual, the story, in a way that we want to make it a kind of storytelling, this story. And so, oh, here we go. Let's see, go back one slide, maybe forward a slide. Okay. So the reframing of the numberless word problem. So part of Brian's focus was, and I talked with him a little bit outside of the session, thinking that instead of going from a deficit model, we want to go to thinking about what do the kids know? What can they contribute? How can they look at this in terms of proficiency? So thinking that we want to shift from this culture of answer getting to sense making. So we're starting with the notice wonder piece, but then we really want this to be around the storytelling and not just saying my kids can't do story problems. So I'm going to do numberless word problems and instead frame it so that we're thinking, I want to engage my kids as problem solvers. And that's why I'm going to start with numberless word problems, because I want to get my kids engaged as problem solvers. So a lot about thinking about how are we engaging students and teachers in the work that we're doing and building them up from this, saying they have information, they can access part of this. A couple other things that Brian shared, Pixabay. I wasn't familiar with that, with free images. And found some great images there. That penguin image was from that as well. And then also math and the news, that a lot of his work or some of his work comes from stories that are on math and the news that he can tweak so that they're real stories, but then change them so they're applicable to the work that he's doing with students. And then kind of my overarching message that went through so many of the sessions were, how do we make math more playful, more fun, more thought-provoking? For my session that I was at every morning for 2 hours, for the 6 hours, was exploring geometric Islamic art. And in that session with Annie Perkins, it just kept coming back to me that she would reiterate, do what you enjoy. If it makes you happy, do it. If it makes you happy, do it. And so like taking our time to think about how I want to puzzle, how I want to problem solve through something, how I want to design something, how I want to engage with something, and thinking about how do I be more playful and more curious. And I feel like that was such a common thread through many of the different sessions. And then this idea that we want to build each other up and celebrate each other. And so again, from Annie Perkins in the top left, she talked about one of her favorites was calls home, which has always been one of my favorites as well. Calling parents home at home to let them know one thing that their child did well, or one reason you're proud of them. And one thing that I'm working through right now as a coach, how can I do that to support the teachers that I work with? And so thinking about different ideas about really wanting to build people up, and we want to celebrate all the hard work that we're doing and the different work that we're doing, the great work that we're doing, and we're better together. So those are some of my reflections in a nutshell. And if you have any questions, please let me know.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Molly at this point? I know there was some URLs that were posted in the chat window. Remember, the chat window is being recorded as part of the recording, so those will be there. Christina had one question, Molly. Her question is, where can we find info on the geometric Islamic art? Do you know if there's any resources that were shared related to that?
Yes. I would say first, follow Annie Perkins. Megan Schmidt was also, and Stephen Weinmar those were the presenters for that. And then they have some folks, I'm just not familiar with their names. I can see if I can find them, for the folks who might be able to be other resources for the Islamic art. So I will look and see if I can get those names.
Thank you very much. Okay. I think we're ready to turn it over now to Jason. We're going to save Megan for the end because she's still having some technical difficulties on her end. So Jason, you can take over the microphone.
All right. Hey, y'all. My name is Jason Kissel. I teach high school math in Columbus, Ohio. So a lot of Ohio people presenting tonight. Mr. Kissel Math is my Twitter handle. I kind of took a different route for what I want to talk about tonight because there was so much good content, but I couldn't really pick 7 minutes of content. And that wasn't really my big takeaway from Twitter Math Camp, which it was my first one as well. So let me just give you a little bit of background about my involvement in the online community and how skeptical I am so you can see the transformation that happened for me. So if you look at this, that's kind of like my big idea is how can I include everyone and bring it back home to my community? But last summer, I finally started reaching out to people on Twitter, and I felt like I was somebody who was outside of the club. And I know that that resonates with a lot of people probably listening, that they don't want that to happen. And so you can kind of see some of my tweets, people telling me that, hey, you teach math and you're online, so you're part of the community. But for me, it always felt like I wanted to be a part of it, but I was very skeptical. So I finally got a chance to be a part of Twitter Math Camp, and I had to take an opportunity because I wanted so badly to see what it was all about, and I wanted so badly to know if it was real. And it was way better and more inclusive than I could ever dream. It was like scary inclusive. It was almost like these people were trying so hard to be inclusive. It was weird, but it was so awesome. So I wrote I'm not a very emotional person, but I wrote kind of a response about that. And just seeing some people respond to me that I didn't think would interact with me just because they're so busy online. But it was just so cool to have those responses to me just hit home real personally. So I left Twitter Math Camp driving home to Columbus thinking to myself, I have to do this in my community. I don't know how, but I have to do this in my community and bring home how inclusive every single person is at this conference. It really is crazy. So here we go. I got a couple ideas. And if they're terrible, I would like some feedback. And if they're great, I would like some help. So my first idea is that we need to share resources with everybody and anybody. We need to be confident in the resources that we have, and we need to be selfless with them. The wiki on Twitter Math Camp is insane. The amount of content you can get from that is so, it's such an awesome resource. But just on top of that, it's just people posting little things on Twitter. Things like what Steve Phelps has here end up being great warm-up problems for me, or something like this from Melissa, just like really hit home for my Algebra 1 kids. It makes it so easy for them to understand function notation. Something like this from Luke. I took this and I used it the next day in my classroom and completely changed how I teach inverses now. And then just another little puzzle problem that I found. These are just amazing resources for me that I've been stealing forever.
I've been stealing forever.
And I need to start putting those things out as well. So with my colleagues in my school, I need to be willing to share those things selflessly and confidently. My second thing that I took away is coming, I promise. Well, maybe. Oh, no.
I think there was the video there. I saw it in the original PowerPoint.
Yeah.
So it doesn't transfer over when we have to save it as a PDF.
Yeah, that's fine. My slide had just froze on me. I was really on a good rhythm there, and now.
It's the embracing everyone's unique talent slide.
Okay, that's cool. I can talk about that. Is it up on everybody else's?
I'm trying to have it go back there. One second here. Now it's frozen on my end too. One second.
Sorry, everyone.
No. I don't know if we've ever had a presentation with 53 slides before. right. It's. All right. Let me try one more thing here. I apologize, everyone, for, there we go. We're now on embracing everyone's unique talents. So that's the slide that's up, Jason. Yes, we're crashing the system. We have so many people in here. We had 60 people in here at one point tonight. All right, Jason, are you there? Jason, your slide is up, the embracing everyone's unique talents. Hello, Jason. All right, looks like Jason, now I see you, you're logged on twice. And now I see that you're logged on once. All right.
Am I back?
I'm not sure what happened to Jason with his microphone. Oh, he's back.
Am I back?
Now you're back.
Can
yes.
I finish?
Yeah, sure. Embracing everyone's unique talents. Tell us about that.
Okay. So there was a really awesome gift from the help, but you know, it's okay. We'll move on past that. So this is more of something that I want to do in my classroom. I just feel like a lot of times we highlight kids who are really great in like one aspect or another in their lives, but some of the aspects kind of get pushed down, especially for me, things like organization or just being able to like communicate with a lot of different types of students. I just want my students to really feel like they know their strengths and that I am rewarding them for using their strengths in the classroom. And then on that list are other types of things where people would present at Twitter Math Camp and I would be like, oh my gosh, you're not presenting anything about content or classroom management, which I feel like every conference is about content and classroom management. You're presenting about some other thing, but it's so valuable to my daily life. So you can read that list. I don't need to read it for you. And then my last thing is just how am I going to bring this back home? So with my students, giving them opportunities to use their strengths, and not just focusing on one specific thing. I tend to get in a rut and do the same kind of pattern for my students. So continually going back and evaluating that, giving them time to reflect, academically, but also just time to process what's going on at their school, what's going on in their lives, giving them time to write and or speak about that. And then the last one is more about allowing them the platform to speak out about something maybe they feel like they don't have a voice in the school or in the community, and just having a teacher with an administrator giving them the opportunity to do that. And then on the other side, I run a math club, and I try to make it as inclusive as possible that if you're in Algebra 1 or you're in AP Calc, you can come hang out, do the math with us, and eat some food. But like I want to push that boundary even further to get the kids who are more fringe kids. Like, I don't think I'm good enough at math to be in the club. I hear that every year, and I need to push that boundary on those students and really try to push them to come. And then the other two are really to reach out to my community. I feel like the community around the school that I teach at is lacking, and that if we could kind of bring in some different people, some different adults, that we could really have a better support system. So a couple ideas that I have are a community garden. We have a ton of people living in apartments and townhomes, just a place to meet up, hang out, and talk. It doesn't have to be about math at all. It can still just be an awesome, inclusive place. And then also supporting people maybe getting their GEDs or going back to school. My last thing I do need help with, there was this Google sheet going around Twitter Math Camp that was just the social happenings. So if you wanted to do something, you just typed it into this Google sheet and people would just be like, yeah, I want to do that too. Or you know, whatever you wanted to do, you could pretty much find on this Google sheet. It was crazy. And people would just like sign up randomly, like they didn't even know each other. And then they met each other and they did whatever they wanted to do. And so my thinking on that is, what can that be in my school or in my community? Like, how can I get as many people to interact and support each other in things they didn't even know that they liked, with some kind of idea like that? So if you have an idea, that'd be super cool. Or any questions, I'm going to open the chat again. So I didn't want to be distracted.
Thank you very much, Jason. There was a couple of questions about some of the Twitter handles, I guess, that you had given that I think people didn't have a chance to catch those.
Yeah, let's go back. So this matching game, I don't know if it was, I just used the pictures. I think the pictures are really cool. And then Luke talking about inverses. And then Alyssa, which this was a GIF but or a video, but I just had to grab it. And then Steve Phelps. And then the, were there any other? Was that all of them?
Let's see. Well, you answered the question about a Google Sheet. And I don't know if there was any other questions. The things were flying by, and I was still trying to make sure Megan got in. Does anybody have any questions right now for Jason? I agree, Sarah, that changing the sharing culture in a school or district can be hard because administrators have pitted teachers against each other for a long time. And so that's definitely something that needs to be worked on for sure.
Yeah, I was at a retreat today real quick, and I found out, like, we're already going back into our ruts. So it's like you really have to push yourself as a person, but that confident and selfless piece is so important. And that's why I kind of am putting myself out here in this community to try to say, like, this is what I want to do, because this is what impacted me the most in those 4 days. So that's kind of where I'm at.
All right, great. Thank you so much. And I think we're now going to try to go back to Megan. Megan, I'll have to go back to the beginning of the slides here, if I can do that. Let's see if it'll let me do that really quickly here. And it looks like it is. So we're going to go back to the beginning with Megan. And I know Howie had one question for Molly, I believe. We'll make sure we get that before we are done for this evening. So Megan, I've put it back on your slide number 3, so hopefully you can see that. And I'll turn the microphone over to you.
Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, we'll see how this goes. I'm hoping it holds up for the next few minutes. So as I was saying, I'm Megan Arnold and I'm at Mrs. Arnold Plus One. This is my first TMC, and I was so excited that it was close and in Cleveland, Ohio this year. So we'll see, you know, how the school year progresses and all the things that I learned and hopefully get to share with you guys and also with my staff and students. All right. Awesome. It advanced. Good. So the first favorite or probably impactful moment at TMC, the first of many, was Julie's keynote. Shout out to Jay Ruhlbach. It was about being a teacher leader. And I feel like I've kind of stepped into that role this year on my own, by my own power. I am not a department head. I am a teacher or in a department of just 3 math teachers, but I've always kind of wanted to be more of a leader amongst the teachers in the Dayton area where I live, and also just kind of as in general as a staff member. And I really felt empowered listening to Julie's speech, which I have posted the link to that speech on this slide if you're interested. And you know, the messages that I got from her speech were to be a leader for the teachers in the community, that you are not an imposter, which I definitely have had moments a few times this year, like, should I be presenting? Should I be putting myself out there like I have been on Twitter? And I've had to like stop myself and say, you know what? No, you are doing these great things and you do need to share. And that's how you make people better. And I feel like because I felt like I was an imposter for so many years, I feel like I've been in a shell for the first 13 or 14 years of my career. And then my 15th year is where it all kind of clicked. So I definitely felt like, you know, I should, you know, put myself out there. And just hearing her speech made me even that much more competent for the presentations I've given this month as well. And, you know, also being new to Twitter, I've been on Twitter for almost a year. I have kind of fallen into listening to some of those educator leaders on Twitter and, you know, making me feel like I'm not doing enough. I hope my principal isn't listening, but even some of the educator leaders within my administration staff have made me feel like I'm not doing enough. And I've had to tune those out and know that I am doing enough and doing the right things and, you know, to search for support through other teachers and the Mint Boss community as well. And of course, the other powerful message I got from her speech was that there is no one way to be a great teacher. I feel like we try to, as teachers, once we see all these cool things that everyone else is doing, to try to do all of it. And I definitely have that kind of personality where I want to go out and do everything, but I know that it's not possible to do all the things that everyone's doing. And at the end of the day, I have to be true to myself. And I also have to be capable of managing it all. And I struggle with that every single year. I have all these great ideas, but then I can't keep up with it all. So just knowing that I am, you know, a great teacher, even if I just do some of the things that everyone else is doing, which I'll talk more about that in a second. And of course, you know, you are enough. And I put a little link to the, not a link, but a image of the sticker that she passed out to everyone, which if you watch the video, you know, you'll just see how important that is. And I just have it on my laptop that I look at every single day. So it kind of keeps me in check for sure. And just to make sure that I am continuing to be the teacher that I can be. So the next favorite was by Miss Calculate. And I just recently started reading her blog and communicating with her on Twitter. And I really wish I would have like sat down and chatted with Alyssa a little bit more at TMC, but you know, maybe future reference. So one of the favorites that she shared during the My Favorite session on one of the days were brag bracelets. And I'm someone that likes to do those little extra things for students. And I, for example, I will give my seniors when they graduate a t-shirt that we design. And, you know, it's something that is a, like kind of a math related joke. Usually it's a calculus related joke. And it's something that they always remember and that people always talk about. And I feel like having that little thing that students remember you by is so, so important, and you, that you remember your students. And she had a great idea with brag bracelets. And so what they are just bracelets that you award students for doing great things in your class or funny things in your class even, and I'll share what those are that she shared with us. And it's just something that will connect you with your students. It builds rapport, and it's just a way for students to remember you and to kind of, you know, brag like, hey, look what I did in Mrs. Arnold's class today. And I also thought that this was a great idea that I wanted to start with the staff members. And whenever our principal saw something happening with staff members, he could award brag bracelets to staff members. I don't know. So if we go to the next slide, I do have, Howie, some pictures of those brag bracelets that she shared. And you can see that one of them says, I answered a question out loud. I compared work with others. A funny one I thought was, I didn't look at my phone, or I laughed at teachers' jokes. And Alyssa suggested, or Miss Calculate suggested, that you hand these out, or actually not hand these out, but excuse me, but you create these on like cardstock in different colors and, you know, hand them out to students. Maybe I would definitely be walking around and putting them on them for at least them to wear for the end of the day. And I know I'll have students that will probably throw them away, but I know that I'll have students that will keep them and treasure them and maybe even like see how many they can collect in the year. Some other funny ones were showed my work, remembered my pencil. I definitely have students that I would award with that because every single day I have to have them borrow a pencil from me. But there are other great ones that says found my mistake and fixed it. Just little tokens of, you know, to let them know that you are noticing and appreciating the things that they're doing, I thought was pretty neat. And I'm going to be using this brag bracelet this year. In fact, I didn't even want to tweet about it really because I didn't want any of the other staff members at my school to steal the idea. So, you know, I want it to be kind of my thing here, and I'm excited to put that in place. So thank you to Miss Calculate. Another, my favorite was making relationships stick, which was presented by Allison Krasnow. And again, these are similar to the brag bracelets. They are just little tokens to say, hey, I noticed the work that you're doing great. And it's just a, you know, who doesn't love stickers? I teach high school math. My students still love stickers. Like if I put stickers on our test, just out of nowhere, just kind of randomly put stickers, they're so excited about the stickers that they get. But, these really, it, you know, improves rapport, it promotes success in the class. And again, it's a way for students that they'll remember you. And, I am a believer that those little things do pay off with your students in building relationships and making them believe that they are important to you. So here are some examples. And these are, they're Allison's. Thank you, Julia, for posting the link. I see that you posted the link to this blog for by Allison where she blogged about this. But some that I liked were, I noticed you today. you know, just say, hey, I noticed you and I'm proud of you and I want you to know that I'm proud of you. Whether you put that on their paper or you just hand it to them and they can, you know, put it on their binder. I could see my students doing that. You and I both know you were amazing and you made a mistake, but that's okay. These are all great ideas and I cannot not wait until I have these ordered and ready to use for my students. Some other examples that I thought were ones that I would use. Ones that maybe, you know, we have that one that says Shazam, thanks for showing how it's done. But we also have ones that are like, I just want to let you know that you're being a little bit loud and I need you to be quiet stickers. And also the one where it's like, I just want to get your attention. I know you're kind of spacing out, but can you focus a little bit more? And I like those ways where you can just kind of, you know, let students know, hey, you know, I'm noticing you and I just want to silently correct you with this little sticker. And I think my students would definitely respond to that for sure. I shouldn't be reading some of these chats, but I love some of the things that you guys are saying. So, and then last but not least, probably the most like, you know, impactful part and part of TMC that I always remember was, we had at the end flex sessions where different people could present. And I went to Sarah Vanderwerf's session about homework. And just listening to her speak was so powerful. Like I couldn't even take notes. I was just so sucked into the things that she was saying, especially after reading her blog for several months and following her on Twitter. So she is just amazing. Anyway, so she talked about homework. So for those of you that couldn't attend, this is what she shared. We started talking about how homework can be a very divisive topic on Twitter or just amongst teachers. You know, everybody has a very strong opinion and people don't want to talk about it because, you know, people think that their way is the right way. But in fact, as Sarah said, there is no one right way to do homework. And so what she said that she's like, I don't normally blog about this, but I'll finally just talk about it. The one thing that she did before she left the classroom is that she does give homework every single night. And by every single night, she means from the first day of school till the last day of school. That's the only night that they don't have homework for her is the last night of school. And it's only 20 minutes. She only gives 20 minutes worth of work. And she said after 20 minutes, they can stop, you know, and she gives them permission to stop. And the reason why she does it every single night is she wants students to get in the habit like, they never have to question, do I have homework in math? The answer is yes, you have homework in math. You have homework every single night in math class. So you just need to get in that habit. She varied her homework and she did hand out an example. I don't know if there's any link to that. It could be in her blog. But it's, she gives like skill practice, just kind of challenge critical thinking questions, review problems, and then some fun activities to do at home. So I loved the different examples that she showed us that she used for homework. Some other things that she talked about, if you notice a picture I had to snag of her and I, she gives students 4 hall passes per quarter. And if they don't use one of those hall passes, they get to use them as a homework pass. So I think that's a great idea. I've done that in the past where they can use that, but then I think it, you know, it makes students really question whether or not they want to go to the bathroom. And also like it gives them a reprieve from doing the homework. If they need it, if something came up and they just couldn't get it done, or they just accidentally forgot, which I, you know, it happens with our students. one of the homework examples she gave, which I thought was really powerful, was sometimes she'll give homework with answers on them. Like, and they don't have to, you know, it's a problem where they have to show the work to work it out. The answers are there. They have to show the work that, or give the evidence, as she said, to why those were the answers. And I thought that was really, really powerful and something I would definitely do this year, especially in calculus. Like, here's the problem, here's the answer, show me the work on how that is the answer. And then of course, she graded just as completion and she didn't make the homework worth very many points. And one thing that I really loved that she said was, you can see a little image there. It says, being a warm demander of her students. So if students were off task, if they weren't doing the homework, she wanted to encourage them in a way to get them to do what she wanted. So what a warm demander was or is a showing warmth and non-negotiable demand for student effort. So failure is not an option and no excuses. And that's something that she prided herself on as a warm demander. And think these were just some of the examples of the homework that she had for different days. She said they could be on a quarter sheet of paper, on a half sheet of paper. You'll notice the first one really doesn't have to do with any of the content that she's teaching. She wants them to solve the challenge question. And then the middle one, it's just complete review. It's skills that they should know coming into her class. So that's something that she could give on day one, or maybe it's just, you know, every day during the week is Wednesday is review day and they do review problems. And then of course, another example she gave were ACT practice questions. And she told them, you know, it should be about a minute per question. And that, can you do it in 11 minutes? So these were just samples of the questions that she had. I did make a like scanned copy of that paper. And I'm not sure though, if she'd be okay. I'm sure she'd be okay with I posted it, but if not, you can always reach out to me on Twitter and I can send it to you of the different, the samples of problems that she gave for homework. And I think that's it. And of course, I don't know if I can hear anyone besides myself. So I'm sorry if you're saying anything, I don't know that I can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me, Megan? All right. So I don't know if Megan can hear our questions, but if you have a question for Megan, I would say type it in the chat room window. I know there was also a question that came up. I believe it was for either Molly or Jody. I think it was for Molly. And it was Howie that had given this question. Howie had asked, is it hard to implement play into your curriculum, or do we need to find extra time to do that? So that question, is it hard to implement play into your curriculum, or do we need to find extra time to do that? I believe that one is directed at Molly. So Molly?
Yeah, sure. In my experience, I tried to work with teachers and finding
very
little
much,
pockets
everyone.
Of time, so it's not just...
I'm glad I was able to get through. Can't wait to connect with you all again on Twitter.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, and just finding little pockets of time to fit in, kind of introducing games and then having it as an option for either during math workshop or whether it's indoor recess or times where kids are interested enough to pull that game on their own. And I think we've done some work with like challenges where it's just the first, it's like a block time, 10 minutes at the beginning of math to do something that's more playful. And so, but, and it could go on longer, but we try and contain it to that 10 minutes to say, we want to be consistent with having opportunities to play around with math. And then, in addition, we need time for other things that we're going to.
All right. I think that answers the question. Thank you, Molly. So thank you to all of our presenters tonight. We actually were originally going to have six presenters, but it sounds like it's a good thing that we narrowed it down to four. They had so much information to share with us. Just an update on what is happening over the next couple of weeks. Next week, we have Making Math Moments That Matter with John Orr and Kyle Pierce. I'll be setting up the webinar for that in the next day or two. So be sure to look in your inbox for a link to that or visit the Big Marker site to log on to that or register for that. Also, on the 21st, we have Designing Curriculum That Treats Students as Sense Makers by David Weiss. He is definitely a solid speaker. You definitely want to join us for that as well. So make sure you mark your calendars and make sure you register for these sessions. So thank you everyone for showing up tonight, and thank you to Megan, Jody, Molly, and Jason. Have a wonderful night, everyone.